Hi, I'm Nancy Clare, and welcome to episode 74 of Speaking of Mysteries. My guest this time is Mystery Writers of America Grandmaster Robert Craze, whose new novel, The Promise, was published on November 10th, 2015. As soon as the book was released, Bob embarked on a marathon of a book tour, and I caught up with him by phone in Houston, where he was scheduled for a signing at Murder by the Book later that evening. Bob Craze fans have been looking forward to The Promise for a number of reasons. First, well, it's an Elvis Cole novel by Bob Craze, but also because Elvis and Joe, and frequent Joe Pike collaborator John Stone, meet up with Scott James and Maggie, the LAPD canine officer from Suspect, the novel that preceded The Promise. Here's Robert Craze. Welcome back to Speaking of Mysteries. Our guest today is Robert Craze, Grandmaster of the Mystery Writers Association of America. And of course, my first question is one of etiquette. Do I refer to you as Grandmaster Craze, or is Grandmaster alone enough?
We're friends. You can just shorten it and call me Master.
Master. Very well then, Master.
Isn't this amazing and crazy and wonderful? I mean, when I got the call from MWA letting me know that I had been selected to receive the Grandmaster Award along with my buddy Carolyn Hart, it could not have been more unexpected or more of a surprise. I was thrilled, of course, but it was just a completely unexpected moment that I'm hesitant to say it, but it leaves me humbled.
Well,
it truly does.
There's no one, I think, or very few people that deserve it as much as you do and your contribution, your 20 novels to the genre. One after another, always as good or better than the next. And I heard from my husband, from Ed, that you said at Diesel the night your Pub Day launch that you thought this was the best book you had ever written. The Promise was the best book you had ever written.
Yeah, I do think so. I absolutely believe that because of the themes involved, what I'm writing about, the layers. This is a complex book, which I hope doesn't appear complex. This particular novel, The Promise, took me longer than most, and it did so because of the breadth of the canvas of bringing all my key characters together. Elvis and Joe, of course, it's an Elvis Cole novel, but then I added LAPD canine officer Scott James and his canine German Shepherd Maggie, who I just created in my most recent book prior to this, Suspect, but fell in love with and wanted them here. But this, the nature of the story itself and the elements that I chose to deal with of keeping one's word and loyalty and devotion and sort of a national frustration that I think is growing with this craziness that's happening on the other side of the world, ISIS and all this lunacy, it ended up being, I think, just a point of pride with me to delve into these things as deeply as I could, while at the same time, of course, not losing sight of the goal that I'm as a novelist, I write crime thrillers. And so I wanted this to read like a crime thriller, but I think perhaps it carries a little bit more weight than ordinary.
Well, it's funny that you say that because, The Promise has to be one of the most anticipated novels, not to mention crime novels, of the year. And I don't want to get too technical because that's boring. But how?
Yeah, I agree.
But how hard was it to have the universes of Elvis and Joe mix with the universe of Scott and Maggie? Was that a difficult thing to do?
It was, because simply at the base of it, an LAPD canine handler and his or her dog would never have anything to do with a couple of private eyes, and would certainly never go against the department to, and break department rules to be involved with a couple of private eyes, one of whom or both of whom are actually even suspected of being involved in a crime. I wanted to stage the conceit of the book, the original situation, to make it as completely plausible and believable. I didn't want to just take these four characters and throw them in a shoebox and shake them up simply on author's whim, right? You know, now we're off and running, and hijinks ensue. I wanted to create a situation that would allow it to be utterly believable and realistic, that Scott makes the choices Scott makes, and that Elvis Cole behaves in the way that Elvis Cole behaves, not to mention Joe and John Stone, who has a large role in this book. All the while, all of them being true to their natures in regards to their partners, their promises, their integrity. That required a lot of chasing the wrong cat up the wrong tree, so to speak. And I found myself not being unwilling to settle for anything that I felt was absolutely spot on. Not that I ever do, but this was a more complicated issue, I think, than a less complicated crime novel. So I ended up making several false starts. I ended up pursuing storylines that ultimately proved to be not right for the work that I ultimately wanted to have. So that took more time than normal, which caused a lot of frustration on the parts of a lot of people. Not unfounded. It's totally on me, man. It's my fault. But I had a very self-imposed goal with this novel that I wanted to achieve, and I wouldn't settle for anything less. And despite the delay in the appearance of the book, I couldn't be happier nor more pleased with the product.
I think the readers, for those who haven't read it, because it's sort of like an appointment read. You say, all right, I've got my Robert Craze book, or master, as I should call you. And now,
don't tell that I said that.
he listens to the podcast, so you know our secret's out. That it's appointment reading. You say, okay, well, I got this book now. For the next 2 days, just don't talk to me. So I don't think fans of Elvis, Joe, or Scott and Maggie are going to be disappointed. But you brought up some interesting points in the answer to my previous question, and that was, and also kind of technical. And hopefully, this won't be boring. But Elvis is always, his point of view is always in the first person. And then when the point of view changes to Joe Pike or John Stone, Scott, or even Maggie, there's a shift to third person. And what I felt was you got to see some of the same events unfolding from different perspectives. And it was almost like 3D reading.
Yes.
And
that's because so much of the book is happening concurrently. In the first portion of the book, literally, there are parallel storylines that at first are disconnected. You know, there's Elvis and Elvis, because again, he is the key character. He is the true heart and spine of the novel. He's the one who gets involved in the case when he's hired to find this missing mother and chemist Amy Breslin, and that is its own case. Elvis is, you know, doing the classic private eye thing, finding a missing person. But then there's the Scott and Maggie case, because Scott has now recovered from the injuries sustained at the end of Suspect, and he and Maggie are finally back on the job. They're on the roster. They're working. And he's continuing on with his life, and now having been responding to a request for canine assistance to find a hidden murder suspect in a particular neighborhood in Echo Park, well, Scott's, that's what Scott does for a living. And Scott and Maggie go out to do that along with the rest of the canine platoon, which leads them to exactly the same place Elvis is trying to be, because having been received a couple of clues or hints of where he might find information about the missing woman. The problems that result for each of them growing out of that night, the opening night of the book, at first are their own problems. You know, what Scott and Maggie, what Scott in his role as a police officer has to deal with and the impact on him. And then Elvis in his role as not only the detective trying to find Amy Breslin, but a suspect on the part of the police as having been involved in the crime. So not to mention the bad guy. So I run these things in parallel, and then you end up weaving the threads together, which for me was great fun, and hopefully will be for the reader, because part of what I enjoy the most as a reader and then doing it as a writer is creating the illusion so that things end up to never be quite what they seem. They're absolutely believable when they're happening, and they're absolutely reasonable when they're happening. But then you do a big switchback, and you realize there's some kind of reversal, or that someone is not who they say to be. There's always that surprise that keeps going. That's the kind of thing that I seek to do as a writer. But I also love that as a reader, which is probably why I write that stuff.
Well, without introducing any spoilers, The Promise could have been subtitled if you subtitled your books, which, thank God, you don't. Elvis and Joe make new friends.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, that's...
if you were lame, which you're not. But what I liked about it was it wasn't just Scott and Maggie who were introduced to... Elvis and Joe and John Stone, who we see a whole different side of in this book.
Yeah, John has a new and larger role in this book than in prior books.
But not just, I mean, he had a large role in Taken. John did.
Yes, he did.
But you didn't see inside of his head that much. In The Promise, you do. And you get this window into John. That's very surprising, I felt.
And I think this opens what this actually that part of the book, and I'll be careful because I don't want to tip too much, but that was an evolution in the book, the opening of John Stone's character, that kind of snuck up on me from behind. But when I got to the John Stone scenes where he's learning about Amy Breslin and beginning to feel a connection with her, it soon became evident to me that this really was the underlying heart of the book. You know, this is a character who is Amy Breslin, who is talked about from the beginning of the book, but none of the players, meaning Elvis, Joe, John, Scott, Maggie, none of the players actually meet her until almost the very end of the book. They learn about her. They talk to other people about her. They research her. They go to her home. A lot of things happen, but she becomes not only real to them, but she touches parts of them that echo and resonate throughout the rest of the book, that also echo and resonate down to their very cores. I mean, it becomes a personal mission for this crew to help this woman. And I think the reasons why, in other words, why these characters feel that way and why they are so motivated is the true heart of the book and why I wrote the book. I think if there's any power to this book at all, that is the engine that provides the power.
Well, I think there's a lot of power to this book, of what you see, what's on the surface, and what you find when you peel back the layers. And in John's case specifically, And in Elvis's case, he, you know, because he is he's the lead detective looking for her. Uh-huh. There's a surprise at every turn. It's always a revelation. But I think particularly for John, I mean, Elvis has frequently identified with the people that he's looking for or working for and, you know, develops a relationship or has an opinion, which he does with Amy. But with John, it took on much greater significance. And we learn a lot more about him. And I liked that. I mean, because now, you know, there's another member of the crew that I feel like is one of my friends.
Good. It's interesting. John is an interesting character in many ways for me, but since his first appearance, which I think might have been in The Watchmen, though his role then was small, and I've increased. He's so much fun to write that I've given him larger and larger roles. But not only is he fun to write, but he has a fast-growing, hardcore, zealot audience of fans. I get hit by email all the time demanding that I write, you know, John's own novels. Give John his own novel. And maybe this book is, you know, his role in this book is a larger step in that direction, because I can see that happening in the future.
Well, that's sort of echoes of Joe Pike, because we've talked from time to time over the years, not very many because we're both very young. But
yes, we are.
But
and I'm the grandmaster, so what I say goes.
Okay, all right, master. But that's, I remember you talking about, when we were talking about The Watchmen, which was the first Joe Pike, novel. And you told me that originally Joe was going to be a character in one novel and you were going to kill him off. And yet here he is.
Yes.
As much as it's, so maybe it is time that John, you know, have his own moment in the sun.
Well, I would love to do that because I find him fascinating. He's an interesting character on so many levels. My problem with these things is simply that time is my enemy. There's so many different books and so many books that I want to write, so many stories I want to tell, that I just don't. And I'm not the fastest writer on the planet. You know, witness how long it took me to get out The Promise. But there's so many things I want to do with this that I think would be terrific. I think a flat out straight ahead John Stone novel would be. That would be like a total trip for me to write. I think that would be a terrific, fun book for me to write, and I'd enjoy it. I just got to slot it into the landing pattern here.
You just got to put it into the rotation.
That's it.
Well,
he's going to play in a later inning, I guess.
I love talking about the guys in your book. I mean, you know, I'm a big Joe Pike fan and big Elvis fan. But I have to confess now, for me, it's all about Maggie. And so are you surprised by the fan reaction to her?
I was, actually. Not that I expected. I did expect people to enjoy her and like her. But I was clueless when it came to that the reaction would be as widespread and as intense as it was. I'm a fortunate guy, and after, you know, however many novels that I found, the readership that I found, that the readership is as large as it is still leaves me gasping and feeling like I woke up and won a contest. But when I published Suspect, everything kicked up into almost like a new order of magnitude. And what was the most interesting and curious thing about it, relative to the fact that Maggie's a German Shepherd, a dog, is how that happened. You know, I had this large body of, readers who are, I don't know what they read besides me. I assume they read a lot of crime fiction. They probably read other things too. But not everyone on the planet is a reader, those people in our population who read are probably a relatively small subset of the population. But what happened was, like my regular readers and crime readers and the people who were picking up on Suspect because it was written by Robert Crace and because it was a crime thriller. Those people who have dogs or love dogs or whatever fell in love with Maggie and they started pushing the book on their friends who were dog people, but maybe who weren't ordinarily readers. Or maybe they didn't read crime fiction. But that's how it spread. It spread from like dog person to dog person. And it just grew like fierce and intense. And it was like I've always gotten a lot of fan mail through the website or Facebook or the way people can reach you. I think in the first year after Suspect was published, we logged over 16,000 incoming emails about that. I mean, that's just a huge, huge, huge number of email for someone like me. No way I can answer it all. I mean, I tried. Believe me, I tried, but it was like a tsunami. You just couldn't. It was too much. And a significant portion of that were from people like Suspect was the first of my books that I read, but they loved Maggie, and that's what they were writing about. So it was a certainly unexpected on my part. I think the proof is if I was smart enough to have actually anticipated that, I would have written about the dog 20 years ago.
You would have put her in the monkey's raincoat.
Yeah, she'd have been in the monkey's raincoat. Why wait?
That's right, and now we'd be talking about Maggie's grandchildren.
Yeah, the eighth or ninth litter in.
Until I read The Promise, it didn't really sink in to me what a foodie with a serious retro taste in beer that Elvis is. And on reflection, he's always been good at the grill and putting something together for Joe because he's a vegetarian. I was just wondering what you would think about Elvis as a candidate for Iron Chef, or if there's an Elvis Cole cookbook in the wings.
There's not going to be a cookbook. I think Elvis loves to cook. He is a foodie. He enjoys cooking. I think he finds it relaxing and centering. It's all part of the nature of his character. He's living in that house up there on the hill by himself. So why should he eat hamburgers? I mean, he wants to. Why not enjoy something good? And I'm sure he finds cooking as gratifying as building a cabinet or painting a painting or any other creative endeavor.
Well, not just cooking, but eating, because he tracks down a witness or someone he wants to talk to.
Yeah.
And this person, there are no spoilers in this, but this person has a taco truck. And, yeah. For those people who live in Los Angeles who have heard, it's sort of a Roy Choi-esque taco truck, really high-end things.
Designer tacos,
and the way he talks about them. And actually, I've already started breaking down the lamb recipe that he makes and decides he's going to bring some of it to John because it sounded really good. So maybe, maybe I'll sort of sketch out a, inspired by Elvis Cole recipes.
You should. I have a test kitchen for all of Elvis's recipes. Before I put them in a book, I have to vet them and make sure they're up to Elvis's standards.
I know the ink is barely dry on The Promise, but of course we have to ask about if there's the next installment in the works, and are you going to bring the universes together again, or will it be either Scott and Maggie or Elvis and Joe?
The next book is going to be another Joe Pike novel. It was fine. It was inevitable. Yes, Nancy, just be still your heart.
Yes.
I wanted to do, you know, after Suspect, I was missing the guys. I was missing Elvis. I wanted to do another Elvis Cole novel. And as I said earlier, combined, you know, have Elvis and Joe cross with Maggie and Scott. Labor of love for me. But having written Elvis now, this is an Elvis novel. During the writing of it, I started thinking about how much I enjoy the Joe books, and so I've just done work on the follow-up novel, and this is going to be another Joe. John Stone's going to have a large role in it, but it'll be front and center Joe, just like The Watchmen or the First Rule or The Century. It was time. You know, when the man wants to step out, who am I to say no?
That's right. I mean, he keeps a fairly low profile considering who he is. But, you know, when he wants to take center stage, I would think it would behoove you to listen.
He's a force of nature. What can I do?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Master, for your time.
My pleasure, Nancy. Anytime.
Last week, I spoke to Joe Clifford about Lamentation, his remarkable crime fiction novel that explores the region where family, addiction, and small-town sensibilities intersect, and I'm looking forward to publishing that interview in the next few days. Until then, this is Nancy Clare. Thank you again for listening to Speaking of Mysteries.